Elliot.
Hello.
Neither of us have really been playing Counter-Strike recently.
No, I have not been playing too much Counter-Strike, it's fair to say.
I think both of us are not playing Counter-Strike for two different reasons, though. I'm not playing it right now because I have other things I really want to play.
I mean,
I think you're not playing it because you're not you're not as into CS2 as you were into Global Offensive.
Yeah, it's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. The thing is, when you play, I've said this before, like when you play Counter-Strike, you can't really afford to take any other game seriously.
Yeah,
if you want to be good at Counter-Strike, you cannot play any other shooter. You can't play other shooters.
Oh
like,
no, you can't try and play Valorant and Counter-Strike competitively.
Or Call of Duty,
not a thing.
Or fucking Titanfall.
Most stuff.
Yeah, like Rainbow Six. What's the other one? X Defiant. That's coming out soon, I think.
I think there's like one person playing X Defiant, so I'm not sure.
I don't think it's out
yet.
To be fair,
an overlap.
X Defiant was. I played the beta. It's pretty fun. But no, I've been playing a bunch of different games because like there's so many games you're just not playing at the same time because most of your time's taken up playing Counter-Strike. But yeah, I'm not enjoying CS2 anywhere near as much as Go. Certainly until they fix Pika's advantage. So I've been playing a lot of Apex Legends. I've been playing a lot of Legends of Runeterra, which is the League of Legends card game. I stopped playing it a while ago. And then just started getting back into it. It's fun. It's a good game. I love card. I've been playing Yu-Gi-Oh as well. So
I just finished watching Yu-Gi-Oh GX.
Nice.
Like the anime, which is something I wanted to do for a while. Also, what the fuck, Light? I had the whole camera set up, and then the sun came out, and now it's too bright. Okay, let's fix that.
Look at Mr. Sunshine showing off. The sun comes out. It's pitch black here. It's 5 p.m. and it's pitch black.
Well, yeah, I mean, it'll be that way here in about 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I've been doing the same, right? So I've been grinding TFT. I decided this was the first set I was going to really take TFT like really seriously. So it took me 10 days. I got back to where I finished the last set at.
Nice.
And so now it's just constant grind to get through gold, which continues to be my issue.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to push through that. I already won a game today. So
I've not been grinding TFD too much at the moment. I'll probably get into it later on in the set, but
my big thing I've been playing recently is I just got a new racing wheel, and so I've been playing Forza Motorsport. I played Grid Legends last night. I've been playing the F1 games, playing Dirt Rally. I had a racing wheel before. It was terrible and 20 years old. And so I got something new.
Nice.
That actually did the things I wanted. And I hated it to start because the brake pedal was way too stiff. And then I used it for about 20 minutes and it was not as stiff anymore.
Very nice.
So I've been doing that.
I've been playing Pokemon Insurgents as well. It's a fan-made Pokemon game. It's very good.
Okay. That's very reasonable.
I mean, I've Football Manager as well has come out. I've been playing Rocket League again. I've been playing FIFA. Like, so many games.
There's just so many games.
Yeah. Like, I kind of got back into Binding of Isaac for a bit as well.
I have, like, other games on my list to play, too. Like, I want to play Sea of Stars, which I've heard is excellent.
I don't know that one.
I have Lamplighters League ready to go. There's, like, a bunch of, like, single-player kind of games that I want to play.
Yeah, I mean,
excellent that I have not gone
on. I still need to finish Baldur's Gate. I kind of got stuck.
I played an hour and a half into Baldur's Gate. Really, really enjoyed it.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Me and single player games, I don't know if I've said this on this podcast, but I've said it with like friends and stuff, is that I do very well in competitive games.
Yeah, I'm the same.
Something where I know that there is another person on the other side of the screen that I can beat.
Yep.
I'm really good and I'm really like in on those.
Yeah, multiplayer games,
single player games
killed my enjoyment of single player games.
My single player idea. Like I cannot play a single player game right now. And if I do, it's got to be like on my iPad that I can play before, like while I'm sitting in bed.
Yeah.
Like before I go to sleep, or on my Xbox or something that I'm going to carve out like 2 hours and so much. If I sit in front of my PC, I'm not playing a single player game. It's just not happening.
So one of the problems I have is if I'm not playing a shooting game, I like to like sit side on to my computer, put my feet on my bed and only use my mouse. With Baldur's Gate, I have to use my mouse and keyboard. So I actually have to be sort of like locked in.
It's
the same. Like, obviously with CS, I have to do that, but that's fine.
Well, I mean, that's same, the same kind of thing. It's like, if I'm sitting in a desk chair like this and I have a keyboard and mouse in front of me, I'm fucking going at it. Right. As opposed to like, if I'm laying on a couch with an Xbox controller or something, it's a totally different thing. And for what it's worth, it's the absolute opposite direction. I downloaded the new Call of Duty when it was on open beta to play on my Xbox, which I used to be it. Like, I used to play a shit ton of Call of Duty. I was playing game battles. I was like, I was like, dude, I could not fucking aim with a controller to save my goddamn life.
Yeah.
Like, it's so bad. It's so bad.
A couple years ago, I think during COVID, so my dad plays a lot of Call of Duty. My dad's a big gamer. He plays a lot of Call of Duty. And I joined in. He had, for some reason, he had two Xboxes at the time. So I would go and play Warzone with him for a bit. And aiming on a controller is really hard, man. I can't do it anymore.
Oh my God. It's like, there was this thing for a while of like people like, nah, controllers are stupid. But like, they're so easy. They've got aim. No,
if you get good with them, like the aim assist is kind of like, it is crazy. But
yeah,
it does do it.
But on the other hand, I used to be good at them, and now I can't do anything on them. It's brutal.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into actual Counter-Strike news. But first, the intro, which goes here. Every week, man. Welcome to Overtime and Inferno, your weekly round of all the biggest stories in CS2. Quicker than, I don't know. Quicker than we generally forget to do the quicker than in this
quicker
part of the
than
intro.
Quicker than Donk has become the best player in the world. 8 years old.
I'm Logan. I'm Logan. This is AZ Ask. Let's get into it. I wasn't going to start with Donk, but since you brought it up, let's start with Donk.
Bro, he is the truth.
So good.
He is the truth.
So I think I've been watching a lot of Donk recently because he's very fun to watch.
He's just incredible.
He's 16 years old, okay? He's playing on LAN. He had one of the best quotes I've seen of HLTV of the year, which I think at one point this year we're going to need to do a quote of the year. Because there's been a lot of banger quotes this year.
There was a good Nork one this week, actually, where he said something like, we talk about leaving, like, he had got offered a role at a different Swedish team, and he thought about it, but he decided to stay at Apex because they treated him well, unlike some other team. It's something along those lines. It's really, really amusing.
So the Donk quote is, I played in the tier 5 dumpster, then in the tier 3 dumpster, and now I'm in tier 1.
Yeah, and he's dumpstering tier 1.
Which is excellent.
The guy's so good, man. Like, it just dropped like a 1.5 against Furia, who just like Furia just won an event like 3 days ago, and they just got absolutely hammered by Donk. Like,
The next best part of this interview is I think Harry's actually there.
Yeah, he is.
Doing this interview, right? So he had a translator with him. So Harry asked the question, Nero from HLTV, if I had to press you, how good are you right now? And Donk goes, tier 1.5 player, and then parentheses, smiles.
Yeah. I think
perfect.
I think
no
he's
notes.
Almost certainly a tier 1 player.
No, he is absolutely a tier 1 player, but hilarious.
He obviously can't. Well, no, he can just come out and say it, but it's, you know, putting a target on your own back. But like, he's just smashed Furia to pieces. The guy is crazy.
He's so good.
It's frightening. it's bad enough, like in quote unquote real sports, when you see a player who's like 21 and they're just better than you, and you're like, and you're when you're like 23 and you look and it's like, ah. Oh, it's like 21.
I'm
27 years old. Donk is 11 years younger than me.
I'm the same age as Zion Williamson.
Wow. Wow. Okay. Well,
I'm either the same age or I'm 2 years older, but either way, I see Zion Williamson doing dunks and shit, and then I'm just sitting here podcasting.
I bet you get injured. Like, I bet you get injured less than he does. But
no, I got back problems, man.
Donk is 11 years younger than me. Do you know how horrible
16,
that is?
It's insane.
I didn't have a PC when I was 16. When he was born, I was entering high school. When he was born! I'm a child.
I mean, if you really want to worry about the age bit, you can also always remember that LeBron James is turning 39 this month and is still doing LeBron James things.
Yeah, but he's still doing it. I haven't started being LeBron James yet. Well, hang on. I need to.
You could always be safe.
Let me find Donk. I need to find out how old Donk is and what was number.
He's 16.
Yeah. But when was he? Like, I need to find his birthday because I need to know
Okay. When While Elliot goes into this deep pool, I'm going to talk about Bet Boom Dasha for a second.
He was born in 2007. I remember 2007.
That's 2007. That's illegal.
That is horrible.
All right. So, The group that Spirit's in is Spirit, Virtus Pro, Astralis, and Furia, which is totally a fun group because my cat just did something behind me. I don't know what it was. I don't know if you could hear it, but he just, like, the cat, I heard him mess with something. I don't know what it was. It didn't sound like anything fell down. So group B, God, unhinged podcast.
Oh, no.
Group B is Spirit, Virtus Pro, Astralis, and Furia, right? So it's a group of actual people that can play the game. It's definitely the harder group. Group A is MIBR, Cloud9, Gamer Legion, and BetBoom. There's like at least MIBR is there. That could be the worst in the group.
MIBR are solid.
But group B is the MIBR are solid, but comparatively to Cloud9 and Gamer Legion, I'd say they're probably a bit lower on the totem pole there.
Them versus Gamer Legion is pretty close. It's very close, actually. I watched them both at Jin Shipping.
Point in bringing the groups up is that Spirit is already 2-0 Furia, who just won an event for the first time in
since COVID,
a lot of years.
I think it was since COVID. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a lot of years. And they're going to go face Virtus Pro, who we wanted to specifically bring up because they beat Astralis.
Yeah. New Astralis with Yabby and Stout.
New Astralis. The weirdest Astralis. So okay.
Virtus Pro is such a good litmus test for whether or not you're good.
Let's hold the Astralis thing for a minute because I want to talk about roster moves in general in a minute. Let's finish the Donk thing. Spirit are very good.
Let's go back to Donk. When he was born, well, sorry, 2 days after he was born, Grace Kelly by Mika was number one.
I'm gonna be really honest. I don't know what that's.
You don't. I'm not gonna sing it. That would be. It's because it's really high pitch.
I may, but you have to remember, I was 7 at the time.
You must know that song. Okay, Ruby by Kaiser Chiefs. A month later, that was number one. You must know these songs.
That's possible. I probably do. I just probably don't know them off the top of my head.
He was born.
That's the problem.
He was born the same year. Umbrella was number one by Rihanna.
Yes. Now you're getting into more of what I knew when I was 7 years old.
He was born the same year as 500 Miles by the Proclaimers was number one.
Yeah, because How I Met Your Mother was.
Although I will say that song was released in 1988. I don't know why it was number one then.
Yeah, it was number one because How I Met Your Mother had an entire episode just 500 Miles played through the whole episode.
How I Met Your Mother was on telly. In 2007, that's when he was born. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he's younger than How I Met Your Mother. This is not on.
Hilarious.
This is really shaking my world. I can't believe he was born in 2007.
I'm so happy you didn't realize this before we started the podcast because we get to see your quarter life crisis happen live on air.
He's 11 years younger than me, and he's. Miles better than I will ever be.
I'm just saying.
I might never go pro.
The title for this podcast is going to be "Elliot has a quarter life crisis." Dot dot dot. That's it. That's the whole title.
Yeah. He's born in 2007.
Spirit are very good. I'm moving on. I want to talk about Astralis, and I want to talk about G2 in the same conversation for a minute here on quick overreactions to roster moves.
G2 aren't making roster moves, I'm pretty certain.
No, but we could say these are overreactions because they've played a whole like 5 games combined.
Yeah.
We'll start with Astralis, who lost to Virtus Pro. And as you started to say before, I rudely interrupted you. Verdict Pro is a litmus test.
They're good. They are a litmus test.
They're like Big used to be, where that if you could beat Big, you were a pretty good team.
Yeah, I think they're like the next stage.
But they're higher tier. Yeah. They're higher tier than that.
So if you can beat Virtus Pro, you're a good team. You're like a genuinely good team, I think. If you can beat them,
like you're like a top 15 team.
I will say they lost to Monty at Jönköping, and I think Monty are actually a very good team. So I guess it kind of works. A new team especially is always going to struggle to beat Virtus Pro because they're so disciplined.
And they play so different than what the CS2 meta theoretically is.
Yeah, I think they're going to speed up a little bit, but even then, like, you don't compromise your principles.
Ah, so you mean they'll go to what everyone else did in Global Offensive?
They'll execute at, like, 18 seconds instead of 12.
So Astralis, right, did the move that brought Borup and Buzz away and brought in Yabby and Staun in their first game in. They both had under 60 ADR. Under 1.0 ratings.
Very funny.
Truly, it's one of the funniest bits that these two created. Like, there was a whole, like, stabby thing. Like, we made a nickname for this
whole thing.
Yeah,
it's so good, isn't it? It's so perfect.
And now it's going terribly wrong, and I love it.
Yeah, hopefully it continues to go terribly wrong. I think that would just be the funniest outcome.
I think that would be the best outcome.
Cadian's come out today in an interview and said, like, oh, I'm surprised by how they handled the transfer, and basically said, like, Staun called him and said, like, oh, I'm not having as much fun with you as I used to. Like, the way you're criticizing us is really aggressive. He's like, I don't know why this wasn't brought up sooner so I could change it, but I guess he just wanted to leave, blah, blah, blah. It's like, yeah, he's kind of stabbed you in the back there. He also said Heroic offered Cadian the chance to come back and rebuild around Tessus and Shush, and he didn't fancy it, which is interesting.
I believe that makes sense. Yeah. But there is a bit that, like, once the org says, oh, we're gonna kick you for these players, it's like you then have to come back and go, hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah,
here.
Exactly. I don't think do I really want me.
Oh no, I definitely not. Okay, we need to go talk about some Swedish Counter-Strike for a minute here. And then we'll go after the Swedish stuff. We're going to talk about G2.
That's
what I was going to talk about. G2. Let's talk about G2.
Hooksy's he's gone, bro. He's got to go. If you're not going to keep, like, if you're going to undermine him by bringing in Nexa, there's no point keeping him, and I don't think they will.
Yeah. So I think the easiest way to talk about G2. So they're playing at CCT Online Finals 5. Okay. It's a CCT tournament. Teams here, Saw, Into the Breach, Red Canids, Guild, Nine Pandas, Aurora Bay. This should be a tournament that G2 cleans up at. They should basically take the whole thing, win the whole thing. That's it.
Yep.
They lost to Aurora, which, okay. I can kind of get that. Deco is very good. Deco's extremely good, in fact, and that Aurora team in general is real good. And then they lost to Guild Eagles, which famously is a team that, while is very good at majors, is terrible at every other part of the year.
Well, they're usually decent in those sort of events. What I will say is, like,
they're not G2 beaters.
They're exclusively G2 beaters. They just struggle against teams at their own level, which I think is, like, the thing that always gets me is, like, if people get annoyed at teams like Bad News Guild Eagles now, because, like, oh, they don't even run these tier 2 events, and then they all come to big events and they beat them, and then these same people will say, like, oh, it's really difficult to beat these tier 2 teams like Monty, Aurora, G2 consistently at tier 1 events. Like, well, what? So why are Bad News Eagles supposed to beat Monty and Aurora and these teams consistently for you to class them as tier 1 if the tier 1 teams already struggle to beat them consistently? So these are just really good teams, and they're just playing in these events against each other all the time.
I think we had talked about the bullshittery that is tier 1 versus tier 2 versus tier 3. It's just called teams that have ESL licenses versus everyone
largely,
else.
Largely, yeah. I mean, that
ESL/Blast.
It makes a big difference. Like, It really does.
Actually, sorry, let me rephrase that. Teams that have ESL/Blast licenses minus EG versus everyone else plus EG.
Like, just Monty are quite obviously one of the best six or seven teams in the world, in my eyes.
Yeah, they're really, really good.
And they're just not at the big events all the time because... But like,
they don't have slots.
You put Monty against any team that isn't FaZe, Vitality... I'm struggling after that. Like, who are Monty not better than? Ents are falling apart.
Astralis 4 weeks ago.
Astralis are falling apart. Well, Astralis just made a move. G2 are falling apart.
4 weeks ago, Astralis.
Mouse just lost their best player and signed Brolla, and we'll get to that in a minute. Ents are falling apart. Maybe Complexity. I'd put Complexity above Monty. Maybe. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, Baldaliege has this buff on him right now.
Maybe Cloud9.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's a lot of teams that, like most of the teams, I wouldn't put them.
Monty might be the fifth best team.
I would put them over
the
most teams. They're very good, but they don't get invited to ESL events.
No, they actually have
Blast
to
events.
Grind
they have there. They have to qualify through an open qualifier, and as we know with the major, open qualifiers are a fickle place, in which anything can happen. Like so, I'm tier one, tier two is bullshit. We have changes coming at the end of 2024. Thank God. But yeah, so G2 went out. They lost to Aurora, and then they lost to Guild Eagles.
Yep.
The other teams that are this far into the event is 9 Pandas, which is the Idus balanced and seized team.
Very cool.
Aurora, which has Deco and Kenzie. Big, which is Big. I have no other words for Big. They went out at the same point that Saw went out.
I also, just going back to G2, can we talk about the Sprout game?
We can talk about the Sprout game. What would you like to talk about?
In map one, I just want to talk about
they got shit on
Hoopsie's scoreline. I don't know if you've seen this.
I can bring it up. I have seen the meme, but let me bring... I've seen the meme, but let me bring it up so that way I'm
so
on the same
page. So he went...
In map
went
1...
0-14.
So... I've got the stats in front of me. So they lost map 1, 13-3 to Sprout. It was Mirage. So I can't say they don't know how to play Mirage because everyone knows how to play
it's
Mirage.
It's like G2 especially know how to play Mirage. G2 are very good at Mirage normally.
Hunter, 11-13. Nico, 9-14. Nexa, 8-15. Monizy, 3-15.
Yeah, that's not good either.
Hooksy 0-14
with 1080.
He had a point one rating, 14.3 ADR.
I don't
just for what it's worth, a 14.3 ADR. Okay, if you said you actually did that much damage, we took all that damage, multiplied it
so
by the amount
kills.
Of rounds, and converted. It's under 2 kills.
So I don't like shitting on Hooksy because I actually think. What he's done with G2 is very underrated. I think it's over 2 kills, but I've just done the math in my head. I think he's actually kind of underrated as a leader. But that is, I mean, 0-14 is spectacularly dog shit.
Oh, it is just over 2 kills.
But I will say, even after he goes 0-14 on map 1, he ends the series with the same amount of frags as Nexa, who they've just signed. As a player, and he's not outfragging their 0-14 in-game leader.
Yep.
Like, what did you sign Nexa for? I don't get it. Like, it must be a monetary thing, because he must be on less money than JKS, because JKS is too good for you to just bin off otherwise. So they tried to sell Nico. Like, I assume they're kicking Hooksy, and I presume the Madden thing is going to come to light, because I don't really know who else you get in, and that would make sense.
Yeah, like what else are you fucking doing with this team?
And I like Madden.
Are you actually just going to have this? Are you just going to have this team waste away with playing Hooksy and Nexa? This is like, you remember the old G2 where they had I think it was Aminek and
Jax
playing at the same time. Yeah. But we were actually high on that team.
Yeah.
But I think most people were like, why the fuck are you wasting Nico and Hunter's career while it's like sitting on this team with Jax and Aminek?
They won Kato and Cologne last year.
This, and they were at major finals 2 years in a row before that.
Yeah.
Or one major
final. One major final.
In
Stockholm.
But they were at a major final recently, too, with, like, the same core. Yeah.
And they're keeping the core.
And then they added, like, more.
But JKS Hooksy, in my eyes, even just firepower-wise, is probably better than Madden and Nexa. Because I don't think Nexa is very good as a... Like, I don't think he's a fracking EM leader at all.
But even if we... Let's take Nexa Hooksy out, because while I think that there's a legitimate discussion there about who's a better fragging IGL and stuff, there is also a bit of, like, who does Nico like more? Who does Monazy like more?
Yeah.
And if the answer is Nexa, well, then that's what it is. But, like, on the surface, JKS is an incredible talent. He's been great for this team. He's one of those players that can kind of be put in whatever role. Not whatever role. He's got a couple that he can play, but he plays them real well. And he's the guy on this team that does the dirty work. He does the shitty jobs.
Yeah, he gets sort he's of okay like doing weird inters roles where he's, like, really passive.
But he does them well.
Oh yeah, I mean he's a great player. Like, he's just a really good player. Like, he kind of does. He's a very passive player generally, but we've seen that he can be an aggressive player on FaZe. He was the sort of star lurk on Renegade. On this, he's more of the secondary lurk option, the sort of uber passive flank watcher.
But the point is that JKS is so flexible that it means they can build the team around whatever. Right?
Yeah, JKS is fantastic.
Getting rid of JKS continues to be a baffling move for me.
I have to believe it's nothing to do with Counter-Strike, and it is a purely personality or financial driven move.
Bro, okay, hear me out. LEC is on salary cap now. Just take some of what you were going to pay caps and pay JKS, and I've solved it.
It's probably on salary cap for a reason. I mean, just, the teams can't afford to pay that much, so... it might be a personal. It could be like Nico and JKS just don't get on, and they were going to sell Nico, and instead Nico stayed. So they're going to sell JKS.
Now they're selling JKS. Yeah.
Like, that could be the. I don't know.
All right, let's talk about a region of Counter-Strike that is, well, at this point, kind of garbage, which is Sweden.
Yep.
So the Svenska Cup happened. And the reason that we're bringing this up is because, well, first of all, it's the first real Swedish tournament I've heard about in a while.
Yeah.
And number two, there are some interesting teams here. So NIP competed and didn't win.
They did have a couple of stand-ins. They didn't have Alex and Hedtrick playing. So they had two Academy players.
They had Maxter, who was subbed for them before, and Silence.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest here. The team they lost to was Godsent. Yeah.
With Plopsky on
which
it.
Has Golden. No. Which has Golden playing the game.
Yeah. In big 2023.
Golden in the server using a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah. Deep in 2023 as well. Like, we're not in 2018.
Yeah. Almost in 2024, yeah. And Golden in the game. Okay. So that's all you need to know about how.
Didn't Plopsky top lost.
Plopsky did top frag.
I mean, that tells you everything you need to know. Plopsky's rubbish. I know it's really, like, reductive to say, like, oh, this player's shit, blah, blah, blah. They're clearly miles better than me. But Plopsky's fucking rubbish. I don't care, man. He's not good.
We had a lot of years of watching
Plopsky. Yeah, I've watched him too much. Yeah. He went an entire year without 30 bombing. He was supposed to be a star when he joined NIP.
So... the other team here to note, other than Godsent and NIP, is Eyeballers, which continues to be one of the weird teams that I keep track of every couple of months, because why the fuck not?
It's fun to watch JW play the game.
Yeah, it's JW and whoever JW wants, including Pepsor, the former
Fnatic
player for NIP.
Fnatic.
Yep. So they just won the event. JW kind of went off for a bit, like, throughout this whole tournament, and then especially in the finals.
JW dropped a 1.6 in the grand final. If there are people out there, I've seen them. I've seen people out there saying Fnatic should have signed a full Swedish roster. The team that just won a full Swedish event had JW as their best player. Do not tell me you can build a good Swedish team. JW is still the best offer in Sweden.
I was going to say, so hear me out. The way you make Fnatic good again is you sign JW back to Fnatic.
JW, Flusher, Olafmeister, Crims, and Golden. Fuck it. Get him in. He's still playing.
No, you. It's very simple. You sign, it's JW Crims, you bring Flusher in, and then you sign two young players.
Yeah, you're just eyeballers then. No. That's the thing. It's like,
Flush is not playing on eyeballers anymore. He got cut. And you add Crims, Crims is still the best player in Sweden. I would say Nork,
but
Crims is top two players probably, in Sweden. Yeah. This is kind of my point.
It's like, oh, we need a Swedish team. So, no, we have Swedish teams. There's like eight Swedish teams. They're just shit. Like that's why there's no good Swedish team. Because all the Swedish teams are bad. Like that's what I don't understand. It's like, oh yeah, but if we got Brolan and Rez and Hampers, like, you're building NIP who are bad. Like what do you mean?
Well, maybe NIP won't be as bad if they have, you know, real management.
If they're Crims and Nork, Nork will never join them again.
No. Well, you just make it on Fnatic.
Yeah, but
that way, yeah,
I mean, I guess.
All right, let's go talk about some big roster signings this past week. One is signing. I think the other one is officially a stand-in.
I don't know if it's
Let's talk about the first one. Twist officially put his post out that said he was leaving FaZe, which we all knew was going to happen. He's expected to be announced to Liquid either today as we're recording on Wednesday or tomorrow on Thursday. They seem to be doing this like one a day kind of thing.
Maximizing interaction.
And Skulls was announced Monday and Zeus was announced yesterday. So today will either be KDN or Twists and tomorrow will be the other. My assumption is Twists will be Thursday because Liquid
Throwback Thursday.
The big one at the end. Yeah, it's a big one at the end.
Throwback Thursday.
So FaZe needed to then sign someone. So they went, who can we get from our academy team, Mouse Sports? Yeah. And Carrigan said, I would like Frozen. And FaZe said, we will get you Frozen.
Yeah.
And that was it.
I mean, so it's the reuniting of Rops, Frozen, Carrigan, right? I think they all played together.
Yeah. So this was the Mouse Sports team that was
Pro League
with Bemis and
Oscar?
Maybe for them. Hold on.
I can't remember.
Woxic.
Oh, it might have been Woxic. Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, yeah, so Rops, Carrigan. Where the fuck is Carrigan on this list? Oh, he's all the way up here. Rops, Carrigan, Woxic, Frozen.
Yeah, Woxic. Nice.
Chris J was there for like 6 minutes.
Yeah.
It was a weird time.
I would say, I don't know if you saw the thing about Rops and Frozen were on Mouse for the same exact length of time and had the same rating.
Yeah, the same length of time.
Loads of other stats were exactly the same.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it's really odd.
They're both very good players.
I remember years and years ago, I made a video for it. Was one of the first videos I ever wrote for ESL was for a broadcast where they wanted like action trailers for players. And I did one called The Cold Brothers about Rops, Robin Cool, and Frozen. And it seems that sort of it's now reaching the zeitgeist, as it were.
Yeah. So, Rops and Frozen on a team is disgusting. We've seen this once before. It was very good then.
Yeah. I will say Frozen.
It will be better
Frozen,
now.
Frozen, when Rops left, took a lot of Rops' positions. So he's going to go back to being a bit more, probably a little bit different. But
well, I don't know if that's totally true because they're replacing Twists.
Yeah, Twist had sort of like weird hybrid roles where sometimes he was a star, sometimes he wasn't.
But my bet is that they'll kind of split those roles between Rops and Frozen.
Maybe. I don't think you ever want to change Rops' roles. He's so good at them.
But the problem is if you wanted to change Rops' roles, there's not many people I would put on the list of like, yeah, you could change it for that person, except for like Frozen.
Is one of them, yeah.
Frozen is one of those people.
The thing is, it's pointless either of us talk about this. Their in-game leader is Carrigan. Yeah. If anyone knows how to best use Rops and Frozen, if anyone knows how to manage a roster of stars, it is Carrigan. So he'll figure it out.
Well, and to be fair,
figure it out.
It Carrion has already managed Frozen and
exactly,
Rocks before.
And it was good.
He know he'll do it again. Rain does not seem to be particularly picky on the spots in which he plays. No. Like, he'll play his anchor positions and be happy with this. And Brokey's going to play op positions.
Rain sort of low-key gets some star rolls as well, though. He gets, like, outside on Nuke as a CT. Like, that's super.
I think that's just because... I think that's because Rops really likes playing.
Yeah, where he so does. So there's like there's sort of two schools of thought.
Because he plays back on A site, right? He plays like under Heaven. I think he doesn't play Squeaky.
I can't remember now off the top of my head.
I think he plays back A site. I don't think he plays Squeaky.
Is he a floor
so
player? Interesting. So there's sort of two schools of thought. Some like star players really like Squeaky. They like playing on top of Hurt. They like holding Squeaky. Like it's sort of a more free role on A, but it's still an anchor sort of position.
Yeah.
Some stars prefer outside. Like Nico plays outside, for example. I think Electronic plays outside. In fact, we have a call out of Electronic on Nuke when we play.
Yeah.
But then you get like Immer plays Squeaky, for example. He did on Game Legion. Like that, I think Chaos Arato plays that as well. But Chaos Arato is weird because he gets like Chaos Arato gets like anchor roles because they're like, oh, these roles are so difficult. We're just gonna have a star player do them, and he's just gonna frag everyone, and it works.
Yeah, but I mean, and generally, you push people into the ramp position, like you're.
Yeah,
like
ramp
a lot
is
of
usually
play
the,
towards ramp.
Ramp is usually where you play your sort of hard anchor, like.
Except for on phase where they play Brokey there.
Yeah, that is unusual. Are you sure? I thought he played... he's usually the Heaven player and Carrigan's the ramp player.
I could have sworn
there's no,
that he was
there's
playing
no ramp. Way they play Carrigan in Heaven. There's no way.
I don't know what the fuck that... You know, I'm just going to stop talking about phase.
It's been a while since I watched phase play Nuke, so I can't remember.
Phase has always felt like a team that does not have players in positions in which I expect they would be in, so...
Yeah, it's Carrigan's a genius, man.
And... Yeah, I was gonna say, I think a long time ago I just quit on trying to understand it because Kerrigan's way smarter than me. Yeah. And that was it. So FaZe was signed Frozen. I don't expect FaZe to become worse because of this.
No. There might be an adjustment period.
There will be an adjustment period because Frozen is not Twists. Okay.
No.
And I don't say that in like Frozen is worse than Twists or anything. I think they're probably roughly the same. It's Twists. Skill set is very different than Frozen. We have spent weeks gushing about how Magisk and Twists are like the same kind of player, that they'll play whatever you need them to play and they'll play it really well.
Yeah.
Frozen is not that.
You
can't chuck Frozen into any role and he'll be great.
Well,
so
you can chuck him into any role and he'll still be pretty good. But yeah, I don't think he'll be.
There
quite,
will be a learning curve.
Yeah, a little bit. But I say Frozen is so, so talented. I'm sure this team will be really good in 2 months. But by the time the major comes around, it'll be them and Vitality as the two best teams in the world. And I mean, they already is, but you know what I mean? Like those two will be being for it.
The FaZe will continue to be the best team in the world.
One team who will probably get worse though is Mouse.
Is Mouse Sports.
Yeah, so the replacement for Frozen, at least temporarily, so we don't know if this is permanent yet. It might hinge on his performance. It might hinge on a number of factors. The temporary replacement for World Final is Brolan. My headset has just turned off, so I'm not going to know exactly what your response is, but their replacement is Brolan, who I don't particularly rate. I don't know about you.
Yeah, so while Elliot turns his headset back on, I'm not a huge Brolan fan. He's been on the bench on Nip for a while. He's been on the bench for Nip for a while. And the last time we saw Brolan actually being good was like in his Fnatic days. So in his Fnatic days, we haven't really seen him be... He was never very good when he was on Nip.
Yeah.
And I think that the big thing was that when he made the move to... Nip, it was because Fnatic was going international. He didn't want to go international. We saw that he didn't work great on an international team, and now he's being brought onto Mouse, which was the originator of the international team.
He also wasn't very good on a national team on NIP either. When NIP signed him, they were full Swedish, and then they were still.
Yeah, well, no, they were on a national team for like 6 weeks, and then they signed Config.
Yeah,
so they were already jumping out, unless Config knows Swedish, which I feel like we've been over, but I don't think the answer is yes.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I think very quickly that NIP team turned into an international team.
So I think a lot of the, I think Brolin's a bit of a myth, to be honest. Like, a lot of people point to the fact he was like top 20 for 2 years. It's like, yeah, but one of those years was with the SG and the next one was online with the SG. Like, his LAN ratings are, he's never had a LAN rating above 1.06 for a year. He's never been consistently good on LAN. Like, this is just observable truth. He was an aggressive player on Fnatic. Oh no, I think he was relatively passive on Fnatic at his peak, and then he just got worse. Ended up as an aggressive player on NIP and is even worse than when he was passive. Like, I don't know what he does well, and I don't think he's ever really been consistently good on LAN. I don't get Brolin. I don't know what he does. I think he's a myth. Mm-hmm.
I've never been a huge Brolin truther.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure that that's going to start today.
No, I just don't.
I mean, it remains to be seen. I mean, his IGLs have not been the greatest of IGLs known to humankind. Like, maybe someone's just been misusing him in a totally wrong way ever since that original Fnatic place where he was okay. Like,
yeah, I mean,
if there's someone that is to be, so here's the problem. If there is a single person that is IGLing a team that will bring the best out of any given player that's brought to them, it's Carrigan and Suhi.
Yes, but,
and I feel really good about that.
NIP had Hampus, and Hampus dragged them into the top 10 by just shafting Brolin and saying, fuck it, I'm going to carry. Like, that's not a vote of confidence. Like, yeah, it doesn't fill me with any confidence.
But I wonder if that was because Hampus just was the best player on that team. Like, regardless of anything that Brolin
exactly.
Was, like, Hampus was just the best player.
That's exactly,
so he said,
my
I
point.
Get star roles.
Like, Hampus looked at his stars and went, fuck it, I'm the carry. I can't deal with this. Like, I'm not relying on Brolin. I'm not relying on Rares. Like, fuck it, I'm going to do it myself. Like, that was the only time NIP have been good in the last like 3 years, was when Hampus decided he was going to do it all himself. I don't get Brolin. If I was a Mouse fan, I'd be hoping this is a temporary move. But maybe I'm completely wrong, and he'll be good.
Mouse have had such a legendary academy system here that it seems weird to me that they wouldn't just say, okay, on a more permanent basis, we're going to bring an academy player in.
Maybe they haven't found the right player yet.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about Liquid for a minute. So we talked about at the beginning of the show how we expected the rest of the Liquid roster to be announced. Kadian's going to be announced today. I'm certain of this because Heroic just tweeted their thank you, Kadian, which to me says they're doing that. So that way in 20 minutes, in about an hour from their post, so 23 minutes from now, Kadian should get announced. Yeah. Okay, so because of that, we wanted to talk about what does this Liquid roster actually mean. We've talked vaguely about it a couple of times. We've talked there are new players on this roster. But I wanted to spend a little bit of time, 5-ish minutes, and just actually talk about what this Liquid roster is, because it's a totally different plan that anyone I think had seen previously on what they wanted to do.
Yeah.
So the roster is, so just so we're all on the same page before we talk on this, it's Naf, Yekindar. They are adding Skulls, who was formerly playing for Pain. Pain?
Yeah.
I think that's right. I think he was playing for Pain. Yeah. Skulls, who was formerly playing for Pain. Zeus, who was coaching in Brazil, who had previously coached for TL as well. I think he was coaching for Pain, but I could be wrong. Kadian, after the Heroic kerfuffle, and Twists back. So that means that they go back to the Naf and Twists and Zeus kind of thing that was happening during pre-Grand Slam. And they're going to add the Auper that they had really never had in Kadian and an up-and-coming Brazilian in Skulls. It also means that they play in the Americas RMR. So they won't be playing in the European RMR, though they've said that they're basically living in Europe. Yeah.
So
because I think all the players there are already living in Europe.
This team is significantly better balanced than the previous Liquid roster. There was a better balance of roles. A lot of that comes down to the fact that Twists is, as we've mentioned before, just a chameleon. Like, he can do anything. He fits in whatever you need. In theory, and is very much in theory, because it might not work like that, there is no reason, with the tools Cadian now has, this team couldn't be better than Heroic. In theory.
I am a biased Liquid fan. I also believe that this could be a top five team in the world in 4 months.
With the pieces they have, it should be. There's no guarantee in Counter-Strike. There never is.
Yeah, there's no guarantee in Counter-Strike at all. But
if you go man for man with what he had on Heroic to what he has now, the only player I think on Heroic who gets into this Liquid roster would be Shush.
So, I mean, let's do the quick apples to apples comparison for a minute here, right?
Yeah.
So the roster for Heroic was Stown, Cadian, Tessus, Shush, Yabby.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's do our. So Cadian is Cadian. We'll keep Cadian the same. Shush and Twists, I'd say, are probably going to be roughly in the same.
Yeah.
Place.
Or maybe it's like Shush versus Naf or something. I'm a massive Shush
either
fan,
way,
so I think Shush is ridiculous at what he does.
I think if we're comparing Shush to Twists, I think it's a Twist win. I think we're comparing Shush to Naf, I think it's probably 50-50.
I think Shush is better than Naf. I really do.
I think we've seen a lot of shit Naf
I think
for a while.
No, I just think Shush is unbelievable. Like, Shush versus Twists is like 50-50. Like, I really think Shush is
okay,
incredible.
So Stown...
Stown versus...
Yekindar?
I would say Stown versus...
Or Skulls.
It may be Twists, honestly. I don't know. Because, like... So Stown was like the star. He was the guy who's always trading. I don't know who's going to be the trade fragger on this team. Like, maybe it's Naf. Maybe it's Twists. If it's Twists, Twists is clearly better than Stown. Even if it's Naf, I think Naf is better.
Twists is clearly better than basically everyone on this team other than Shush.
I think so. I mean, I'm a massive Shush fan. Like, I think Shush is...
I mean, he may be better. It's like Shush we put on a very high pedestal because he does a lot of the same stuff that Twists and Matt
he's
right?
Shush never makes the wrong decision. And I think that's incredibly difficult to do and incredibly rare. He just never makes the wrong decision. He's always making the right decision.
But we keep going down the list. Yekindar, there is no player on this roster that can do.
Yeah,
what
it's like Yekindar versus
in the same way.
Tessus or Yabby, and yeah.
it doesn't matter. Yekindar versus anyone.
Yekindar is peak.
It's Yekindar.
Yekindar's more up
and
down.
I think we see Yekindar go back towards Virtus Pro form, too, because there's a lot of similarities with this and the way Virtus Pro was. The AWP and the IGL are the same person. You're taking a lot of onus off.
I think they're a lot more aggressive.
Letting four rifles kind of do what they want.
They're
but I think
aggressive.
That suits Yekindar more.
In theory, yeah. Like,
and to be fair, there is one of the most passive players in the world, a Naf, on this team.
Yeah.
Not James. It's not
just
your
why
AWP,
I kind of think
passive player.
Why I kind of think he might be the Shush on this team, because he's really passive, and Shush ends up being the most passive part of Heroic.
And then Skulls is kind of a wild card.
Yeah, so Skulls is probably
the
one who's weaker than Yabby or Tessus, whichever you compare him to.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I could see in 4 or 5 months that Skulls is real good, because we've seen flashes of him
being really good
on pain.
I do like Skulls. He is a good player, but I think if you're comparing him to Heroic, he's probably the one who you're thinking, okay, yeah, he's a little bit of a downgrade on whoever you compare him to. The others, I think, at least even most of the time with their counterparts.
We're basically upgrade across the board.
It comes down to whether or not the not being able to communicate in Danish makes it harder for Cadian to get his point across. It comes down to Exist versus Zeus. And it comes down to whether or not the team just clicks. Like, Heroic clearly just clicked, and maybe Liquid won't in the same way.
Yeah. The English doesn't worry me.
No, it doesn't worry me.
Cadian is extremely well spoken in every interview he's ever done.
He's clearly very, very good at English.
And Cadian seemed to be the one coaching this team for a while as they brought on Exist.
Yeah.
Right? Because they had the Hunden situation and they didn't have a coach through that for a while. And then they brought in Exist, and it seemed at the beginning like Exist was standing behind them doing the motivational shit, not as much of the here's your game plan stuff. And then as Exist's tenure continued on, it went more and more towards this is our game plan. This is we're going to be more of a full coach at this point. So I don't have worries about that. I also think that Zeus is probably one of the best coaches they could have brought in. And he obviously has familiarity with the system to a degree.
Yeah.
He coached Twists and he coached NAF. And the two of them kind of had to agree on this to continue on. So obviously players that you've spent a lot of money on already.
Oh yeah. They already like him.
They already like him. So you don't have to get full coach buy-in, full new buy-in from a coach, from a team of a coach. It feels like a homecoming, even though they're bringing three new players in.
Yeah. Well,
two new players.
Schools, right?
Sorry, in my head, Yekindar was not a...
Yeah.
Well, in my head, Yekindar was a new player.
He's still kind of new.
Well, he wasn't on the teams that Zeus, Nav, and Twists were on. So, this Liquid team, I think... do we know what the America's RMR situation is?
I don't know.
It's being held in Mexico. I don't remember how many spots.
No, I'm not exactly
come
sure.
Out of Mexico though.
It's still in my head. It's still ages till the major. I'm going to Abu Dhabi on Sunday. So
we are under a month.
Yeah. That's miles away.
Until RMRs.
Miles away. I'm going to Abu Dhabi next week. I can't think about January. It's still Christmas yet.
Yeah, we haven't done Christmas yet. All right. So. I think that's all we've got for this week. Cadian has yet to be announced, so we're just going to assume that it's going to happen today and move on with our lives.
Yeah.
You'll find us again next week here. We'll talk about... Well, you won't be here.
I won't be here. Well,
Elliot won't be here.
Maybe. I mean, I'll bring my microphone with me. We'll see.
I'm going to assume Elliot won't be here. I will have someone else with me.
Yeah.
So. Because I have time to plan for this one. We'll see who I have with me. It'll be a special surprise.
Could be anyone.
But until that point, you can find us again on Twitter/X or whatever the fuck it's called this week. I don't think I'm going to get Joe Biden for a variety of reasons.
Game on.
It would be a very interesting podcast because I like know all the political shit. I just think that nobody that normally listens to us would ever care.
I think, I don't know. I'd probably listen. I don't normally listen to my own podcast. That seems really vain.
That's a good point.
But I would listen if Joe Biden was on it.
That's a really good point. All right. I'll email the White House.
Excellent.
Let's get it set up for next week. All right. You can find us on X or Twitter or whatever the fuck it's called this week at LoganRapApp, at AZSKNAD, ReTLDR. We'll be back for the next week. Well, I will. See y'all.